Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Police unions in America under the microscope. Some pushing to kick them out of the AFL-CIO. Trumpka says no. And today on the show, the latest from the Communication Workers of America and the local building trades. Good afternoon and welcome to the Tuesday, June 9th edition of America's Workforce. We're recorded right here in Cleveland, Ohio for workers all across America. In fact, we're now recording the show at Iron Workers Local 17 in downtown Cleveland. Proud to be working with the Iron Workers. AWFradio.com is our website, and you can listen to the show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio. The list is growing, just some examples. And once you get hooked on the show, we ask you to subscribe to our podcast and give us a rating. And be honest, we appreciate a five-star, but if you don't like the show, tell us that too, and we'll try to improve it for you. All right, we have two guests on the show today. One of our sponsors is the Communication Workers of America. You can find them online at CWA-union.org. Frank Matthews, who is the District 4 Administrator, which covers about five states in the Midwest, will be talking about, number one, the CWA's stand against racism. This is posted right on their website. In fact, it's about 2 weeks old. Talks about the milestone of 100,000 deaths, which is now over 110,000 due to COVID-19. The CWA finds ourselves confronting the other plague that has been rampaging through our community since long before the pandemic. And you know what that is? It's racism. Compounding the devastation of a global pandemic which has disproportionately impacted black communities. Black people in America continue to face threats, brutality, and death for going out jogging, for being poor, for sleeping in their own bed, for watching birds in a park, for being black. The murders of Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and the blatant display of racism in the Central Park incident with Christian Cooper demonstrate again this grim reality. These names are not the first, and without a profound change in ourselves and in this country, they will not be the last. So, the CWA Executive Board is committed to moving beyond an endless string of reaction statements and demonstrating our continued commitment to justice for black people through organizing, representation, political, and movement-building work. And that's what we're going to talk about with Frank on the show, because this discussion has come up so many times, and apparently it just didn't have legs. Maybe it has legs now. More people I talk to say, you know, this is a game changer, what happened to George Floyd. And people are coming out of the woodwork, and you notice these protests are not dying down. Interesting story I'll get to in a minute about police unions, which are pretty much under the microscope right now. Journalists are in trouble. Now, the CWA is the parent union of the News Guild and also the National Association of Broadcast Engineers and Technicians. And the News Guild, CWA, released a joint statement just about a week ago and a video condemning the arrest of CNN reporter Omar Jimenez, producer Bill Kirkos, and photojournalist Leonel Mendez while they were covering the protests over the death of George Floyd. Arresting a CNN correspondent and crew while they're doing their jobs to inform the American public about the protests is completely unacceptable. That comment from NABID CWA President Charlie Braco. The crew is doing their job. In fact, this is posted on the website. Let's listen right here on America's Workforce.
I'm John Schlois, president of the News Guild CWA. The arrest of CNN reporter Omar Jimenez and his crew is an absolute outrage. He was reporting on the unrest in Minneapolis following the killing of George Floyd. As journalists, we support the free speech rights of everyone. This is a stark example of what happens when people in positions of power attack journalists in our own country. Without a free press, there are no free people.
News crews put themselves at risk every day to keep us informed. Freedom of the press and freedom of speech are bedrock American values. Our union condemns the arrest of CNN reporter Omar Jimenez, producer Bill Kirkos, and photojournalist Leonel Mendez. No member of the press should ever face intimidation while doing their job.
Amen to that. John Schloss is a great guy. He is the new president of the News Guild. We'll be getting him on the show in the not-too-distant future. We'll also talk about COVID-19 and how the CWA is protecting its members. We'll get into call centers with Frank Matthews, and also the Labor Federation endorsed Joe Biden. More and more unions are following suit, and Frank is going to talk about that as well. Dave Wondolowski will be joining us later in the show on behalf of the Cleveland Building and Construction Trades Council, cbctc.org. Dave is the executive secretary. He's going to talk about more and more construction workers going back to work. How safe are they? Last time we chatted with him, the North America Building Trades Unions and the Center for Construction Research and Training released a set of standards to be followed all across the United States. Well, how are we doing here in Northeast Ohio? We'll talk about that. The other story is quite fascinating, and I'd like to do an entire show on this. How it goes back to the union difference I always talk about on the show. And there is a organization within the AFL-CIO called the Housing Investment Trust. Well, check this out. This is very similar, and Dave can explain perhaps the similarities and the differences. In late April, a pension trust fund agreed to invest in a Cleveland apartment project, providing the needed finances to greenlight the work. Well, the employee Real Estate Construction Trust, ERECT for short, and this was end of April, agreed to provide financing what they call the 121 Larchmere Project. That's the name of the project, 121 Larchmere. Well, the funds from ERECT will invest $5.6 million in the project, which is expected to be about $23 million. So that's a chunk. That's a real good chunk. That commitment included the requirement, listen closely, it included the requirement that the developer use an all-union construction workforce. Now, Dave is quoted in the article, and this was in last month's Labor Citizen. Dave is quoted that the project will create about 250 construction jobs. Now, no timeline was announced. We can hope to have an update on that when we have Dave on the show today. But this is just another example of pretty much putting your money where your mouth is. I mean, we urge corporations to do the right thing. Follow the union lead here. The union is taking pension money, workers' money, and reinvesting it, creating jobs, and growing the pension fund in return. Doesn't that make sense? Great story. Just a great story there. So Dave Wondolowski will be our second guest right here on the show. Well, in the midst of demonstrations all over the country, including right here in Northeastern Ohio, there's been some debate heating up. You might have seen some of this on radio, heard about it on radio and TV. And it's heating up over the role of police unions and police accountability. Starting off with the New York Times, police unions reportedly have stood among some of the most vocal roadblocks to reform nationwide, while collective bargaining agreements, CBAs, have frequently enshrined what they call a code of silence into police contracts. Often, local officials, according to researchers at Harvard University, have conceded to police unions' demands for police misconduct protections in exchange for lower wages and benefits to keep city budgets in the black. Unlike in the private sector, states have the power to regulate collective bargaining rights in the public sector. And they can limit police unions' power to bargain over disciplinary protections in use of force cases. The Boston Globe editorial board has endorsed that position. And there's other similar proposals to limit the scope of police unions' collective bargaining power. Others have called for a more radical approach. Writing in the New Republic, labor reporter Kim Kelly, who is really far to the left, has called for abolishing police unions altogether. Can you imagine that? Altogether. Public debate has even given rise to increased tensions among labor leaders over police unions' role within the movement. Much of the current disagreement has centered around the AFL-CIO's continued affiliation with the International Union of Police Associations, IUPA, which represents about 100,000 police officers in the country. Now, on the one hand, various pro-labor civil rights groups have called for the Federation to disaffiliate with the IUPA or demand major reforms. Well, on Friday of last week, the Flight Attendants Union, which is part of the CWA, called on the AFL-CIO and its members to demand that the IUPA and other police union members impose greater accountability measures for police misconduct in their collective bargaining agreements, or get expelled, reform, or get out. On the local level, Seattle's King County Labor Council has given an ultimatum to the Seattle Police Officer Guild with a similar list of demands for continued membership. Similarly, in New York, seven locals signed a resolution. This happened just last week, calling on Governor Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio to hold the NYPD more accountable for misconduct. On the other hand, other members of the labor movement oppose the Federation's imposing contract demands on its members, preferring a big tent approach at a time when union rights are under attack. We know they're under attack. All union rights are under attack in this country. The debate touches on a broader strategic tension between progressive and conservative labor leaders, with progressives advocating that unions adopt a broader social change agenda. And then you got conservatives championing a narrower mission focused on obtaining better wages and benefits for members. I mean, there's good arguments on both sides here. What about Rich Trumka, president of the Labor Federation? He's in the middle of all this, and he is seeking to bridge the divide by decrying racial injustice. I mean, he's come out saying this has to stop. But when it comes to expelling police unions from the Federation, that's a no-go. Well, keep in mind, they want to keep as many members as possible, because they have, 12.4 million members, and the ranks of labor have been dwindling over the years. This is a really fascinating subject, which we will be staying on in the weeks and months ahead. And we're going to be trying to line up a couple of national labor leaders on this subject, because, like I said, what's going on in America, this protest movement has some legs, and unfortunately, more often than not, unions get singled out in situations like this. This is a union show, so we will stay on it and make sure we get all the sides covered. All right? I promise you that. All right, we have to take a quick break here. When we come back, Frank Matthews on behalf of the Communication Workers of America, right here on America's Workforce. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest-growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output, a half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
This special message goes out to all veterans and dependents of veterans who are living in Cuyahoga County. The Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission proudly provides a wide variety of services and assistance, including the following: filing VA claims, helping obtain disability or widow pensions, assistance obtaining military records, memorial affairs, social work, rent or mortgage assistance, utility bills, food, clothing and hygiene, and VA medical transportation. For more information about these services or your eligibility, call 1-844-405-VETS. That's 1-844-405-8387. Or go online to CuyahogaVets.org. The Cuyahoga County Veterans Service Commission, veterans helping veterans since 1886.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Once again, welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded here in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers all across America, coast to coast. You can find us online still at AEWFradio.com. And you can listen to this show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Just want to call attention to the show that we did Friday with Dorsey Hager and Dr. Camillo Ricordi. In fact, we got a lot of downloads on that show, and that had a deal with the building trades, North America's building trades unions. And I got some new figures on this. The building trades contributed $3 million to the Diabetes Research Institute Foundation to support the research for treatment of severe COVID-19 related inflammation. The doctor talked about that on the show. His background is stem cell research, which he has done in some cases reverse diabetes in people. This doctor's amazing, absolutely amazing. And we did this interview because we were hoping they were going to do the Dad's Day shoot with the building trades, but that's got postponed till September. I believe it's September 12th that's going to happen. We'll get the good doctor back on the show to talk more about that. But check out that show. That was Friday's show, June 5th show. It's podcast. It's also online at awfradio.com. Once again, how many times I say this? The union difference. Unions funding research to help people. $3 million worth. And I know in the state of Ohio, it's in the tens of thousands that they've raised, and they've done this in various states. All right, let's go to line number one. Here's a guy always trying to make a difference, Frank Matthews, on behalf of the Communication Workers of America, one of the many, many proud sponsors of the show, and he covers District 4, which is a chunk of the Midwest. Hey, Frank, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us once again.
Flash. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hot day today in northeastern Ohio, and a lot of anxiety out there. We'll talk about the racial tensions and the position of the CWA. But first and foremost, the Labor Federation came out a couple of weeks ago, and a number of unions followed suit on the endorsement of Joe Biden. I talked to Bill Samuel last week. I said, Bill, this is a no-brainer. I like to hear the CWA perspective. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, it was. You know, the field cleared so quick there at the end, which was and so if you're sitting there with a choice of, you know, Joe Biden or Donald Trump. You know, other than some of Biden's positions, which I'm going to cover that run lockstep with labor's positions and labor's wants and needs, you know, the bottom line with us also is CWA all earlier in the year put out a call to every candidate and said, hey, please return the endorsement. We want to consider you. And that included President Trump. He got the endorsement questionnaire, and also return a video. You can go to the CWA's website and see most of these, and virtually every candidate did, except for Donald Trump. He had refused, and multiple asked there at the end, refused to even submit a questionnaire to labor. So, you know, that's first and foremost a big thing. He, Donald Trump didn't even pretend like he cared or wanted labor's endorsement. So, you know, it's one of those deals where it's tough to give actual credibility to somebody that really doesn't care about you as a as an organization or a group or what you stand for. But that being said, you know, Joe Biden's questionnaire, you know, we and people can go to our CWA-union.org website and link right to these questionnaires and even see the videos that these candidates left that actually wanted labor's endorsement. And, you know, Joe Biden flat out said that he supports the PRO Act, which we all know would ban employer mandatory anti-union captive audience meetings, would make fair union elections again, would make it illegal to stall negotiations that companies are doing, and actually institute strong penalties for those violating or interfering with organizing in the workplace. So there's, you know, so he supports the PRO Act. He flat out said that he believes that no tax dollars should go for any company that outsources work or offshores. Said that he would in his questionnaire would support expanding paid leave. He supports the $15 minimum wage, and he and this is just. These are just a few of the things, but he actually has the best plan of any candidate out there to rebuild and actually to build or rebuild our telecom infrastructure, expand or rebuild, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, it was pretty much a no-brainer for us. But, you know, if you're comparing Joe Biden to Donald Trump, you know, you go look at Donald Trump's record. I'll send through a sheet to you that if you want to put up online for folks of just all the attacks over the last 3.5 years that Donald Trump has made on workers in this country. First off, his Supreme Court appointees imposed a free rider law, so, you know, the free rider, so-called right to work laws on the entire public sector in the Janus decision. Trump's appointees at the NLRB have thrown up new barriers and actually struck down labor-friendly rulings, you know, setting the NLRB back decades. Trump actually made it easier for employers to fire or penalize workers who use their company emails to discuss workplace conditions. And Trump flat-out promised to veto the PRO Act. You know, so there's a stark difference there. Now, workers on the job, Trump took away overtime from over 8 million workers, costing them over $1 billion in lost wages. He gutted OSHA rules, cutting the number of inspectors, you know, nationwide and weakening penalties. He threatened to veto legislation that would raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And probably first and foremost, when it comes to working folks, Trump appointed an anti-worker, union-busting lawyer, Eugene Scalia, who as a corporate lawyer defended Cablevision's tactics of busting a union at CWA, including illegally firing and granting raises to only members who weren't in the union. He actually made this guy his labor secretary.
I know.
So, you know, CWA's put together a pretty good sheet on this and how he's attacked health care, how he's actually failed to stand up for outsourcing and offshoring and keeping jobs here. Our national president, Chris Shelton, sat right in a meeting with Donald Trump and asked him to support keeping jobs in the United States and penalize companies that move jobs offshore. What'd he do? He has a tax bill that actually gives a huge tax credit to these companies that move jobs overseas. You know, some of these companies are getting a 50% tax break on their foreign profits. So I can't go over all of them. The list is too long, but I'll provide it to you, Flash, so you can put it up. And there's links on this to the actual news story and proof. So, you know, you don't have anybody saying it's fake news or anything. So, but, you know, the decision was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, besides his terrible record and his anti-worker record, the man didn't even think enough about labor to submit a questionnaire or even pretend that he wanted labor's vote. So, you know, it really was an easy decision. And I truly in my heart believe that another 4 years of Donald Trump could end up being devastating to labor and could set America back centuries when it comes to worker rights and working people. It's the haves and the have-nots, and we're dealing with a president right now that cares very little about working America, and it seems to all be about him, we have to make a change here, and CWA is ready to do everything we can to help Joe Biden be the next president of the United States and actually return dignity and respect back to the White House.
I hear you. I hear you loud and clear, buddy. Here's the problem. You know, there's still a lot of union brothers and sisters that are supporting Donald Trump. For the life of me, I can't figure that out. I guess they like, because the stock market went up, they're making money, 401ks have grown. I mean, a lot of the market has come back right now. Is this an education thing? I know you and other unions are trying to reach out. The Ohio AFL-CIO, we had Tim Berg on the show a couple of weeks ago talking about Trump's record. And he talked about some of the things you just brought up on the show. Supreme Court, National Labor Relations Board, attacks on unions and all that. But none of that seems to stick with some people. And Frank, you know that. I mean, you longtime union guy here. How do you figure that one out?
Well, it is. We've got to talk. I honestly believe that, you know, there may be that group that, you know, the hardcores, if you want to call them, that, you know, President Trump himself said it. He could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue in New York City and not lose their vote. There is a hardcore group that for some reason that just forgives this man and sees nothing wrong in what he does. And I, for the life of me, can't figure that out. However, you know, there is a good percentage of folks, too, that we are finding have seen the light. Are really struggling this time around. I mean, you know, you look up in the Mahoning Valley, the Youngstown area, all those folks that, hey, don't sell your house, folks. I'm bringing it all back. You know, your jobs are going to be here. After the election, the man disappeared. He didn't care about them. The jobs left, you know, GM, you know, left. And I think those folks, it's one of those deals, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me kind of deals. We're finding the same thing all over northeastern Ohio in this area, all over Michigan, all over Wisconsin that, you know, you got to remember his margin of victory in Michigan and Wisconsin last time were so slim. And let's just hope a lot of it necessarily wasn't a pro-Trump vote of those marginal voters. But I think this time around, and based on the numbers and based on 3.5 years of actually watching this
experiment.
Yeah, this experiment.
It's an experiment, yeah. I think really there's some people, they like Trump because he's not the politician. He's I mean, he is the businessman, and that's all that seems to matter. But to your point about what happened a couple of years ago, I think it was Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, collectively, it was about 80,000 votes,
right,
which he won those three swing states, and that gave him the electoral votes. He didn't win the popular vote. Keep that in mind. He didn't win the popular vote. And that's another story right there, the Electoral College, because I think that needs some reform in itself. You know what? We're getting a little long here. Let me take a quick break, and we'll get into the CWA's position. And it's a good one, dealing with what's happening in America right now, racism running rampant. It's all part of America's Workforce. Frank Matthews, District 4, communication worker, CWA-union.org. You can find a lot posted right there. And later in the show, Dave Wondolowski, on behalf of the Cleveland Building Trades, is going to talk about what the trades are doing in northeastern Ohio, being safe, and also moving America forward. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
If it impacts the livelihood of Ohio's labor trades, you'll find it in the Labor Citizen. America's oldest labor newspaper still provides the most comprehensive coverage of the issues that matter most to Ohio's union construction industry. Each edition includes information many unions use to send out in a monthly newsletter, along with an interesting mix of feature stories and news. The Labor Citizen is a growing force for Ohio's union construction industry. The full-color tabloid is already being delivered to the active members and retirees from nearly 50 different building trade unions. You won't find this level of coverage anywhere else. But the only way to have this valuable monthly publication delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trade union is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting. Or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com for more information. That email address again is info@laborcitizen.com.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
Once again, welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded here in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers all across America. Don't forget, you can listen to the show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, just some examples there. This next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the North Coast Labor Federation. And joining us on a live line right now, it's Frank Matthews on behalf of the Communication Workers of America, District 4 Administrative Director. What is that, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan? Did I get that correct?
You got it.
Oh, good. Good,
the
good.
Big five,
good memory
yeah.
there. Good memory
yeah.
there.
Man, that's impressive. I have trouble sometimes. I go, which state did I forget?
And that's your territory. Oh, my gosh. All right, let's get into today is the day that George Floyd is being laid to rest in the area he grew up, Houston, Texas, and the CWA's executive board. And I read part of this at the beginning of the show. Very powerful. I urge our listeners to go to the website and read the entire script, and maybe you and I can just kind of go over some of it here. But and I the big point here, Frank, we've seen this story before. We've seen this happen. We've seen an outcry. I mean, I'm a product of the '60s. I went through Kennedy's assassination, Bobby Kennedy, which was the anniversary was just a couple of days ago. Dr. Martin Luther King. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And there's been some changes, but not enough. Not enough. Talk to me about the CWA executive board and how they plan to implement some changes or push some changes on what corporations, communities. What's your thoughts here?
Well, I agree 100%. We've seen it before, and nothing ever seems to change. But I was on a call with our folks nation or district wide the other day, and I said, I get a real sense here that it's different this time. I think we have a younger, very diverse group of young folks in the country now, and I don't feel like it's going to be one of those things that just goes away or fades out or so often happens. I think, there's some younger folks in this country and it's a time where people have just had enough and see, what's going on here. So to your point that we've seen it before, I couldn't agree 100%, but I get a sense that there's something a little different afoot here. On May 29th, our CWA executive board, which is 20 vice presidents and board members from across the country, voted unanimously to issue a statement about the need to dismantle the racism that plagues our communities. We're all in. There's no neutral. There's going to be no in between. Only a total dismantle of racism is going to end up building working class power in this country. So CWA issued the statement. We will make it a part of our platform going forward. A deep structural change and justice for black people that is really linked to justice for all working people. Here's the other day when I was talking, I said, working folks, regardless of color, have always had more in common with each other than working folks with the rich and CEOs and these corporations that use little things to drive all of us apart in one way or another. But it goes much deeper than just having things in common. I think the murder of George Floyd, and there have been so many other instances, but, Breonna Taylor and these other tragedies really made me, let's just get real here. It made me as a white male in this country really dig deep. My perspective, and you made reference to it. We grew up and we're about the same age, Flash. We grew up in an America, and I'll just say it. I think my perspective, as I was having a chance to dig deep on America and my expectations and realities, are much different than a person of color.
Sure.
It's like I said, it's about digging deep and realizing and not just glazing over the truth or liking things the way they are. So, you know, it's, hey, it's good for me now, you know, so I'm not going to fight for justice for everybody. You know, I can truly say this. Although I came up with a list of a few more, I mean, I, as a white male in this country, have never, I mean, and these are broad, these aren't really too broad a statement. I think a lot of folks would agree with this. I, as a white male, have never, ever worried about losing a job to somebody less qualified. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've always just had that confidence that if I'm the most qualified person, I'm gonna get the job. I, as a white
right.
male, have never had to endure the look when I go into a nice restaurant or a nice clothing store. I've never got sick in my stomach when a police cruiser or a officer of the law is pulled in behind me in a car. And I've never had to have a talk with my child or grandchild about how to act in front of the police, what to do, what not to do, how to act, and really in front of anybody in any position of authority. So for me, you know, the digging deep was realizing, you know, A, thinking of those items, and then realizing that until all people of color can answer each one of those the same way that I answered them, we're really never going to reach our full potential as a nation or as a union of brothers and sisters. So I think, you know, I have a lot of hope here. I think we're going to see some change here, and I think I have a lot of faith in this movement, and I think it's a good thing, and it's going to end up with a lot of eyes being opened and our country in a better place going forward. I hope. It's my hope.
Yeah. Me too, buddy. We all have to become colorblind. We really do. We all have to become colorblind. I want us to read the final statement here off the CWA website. If we are to make progress, we must listen to the experiences and stories of black CWA members, black workers, and the black community. We must join together, every one of us, to dismantle this system of oppression. This means every white union member, black union member, Latino union member, and every ally must fight and organize for black lives. Thoughts and prayers, not enough. No amount of statements and press releases will bring back the lives lost and remedy the suffering our communities have to bear. We must move to action. That's the key word. We got to act. We've talked about this for centuries. We have to act. And we have to become colorblind. All right. We're going to leave it on that note. Good discussion today, my brother. Good discussion. Keep up the fight. We'll talk again next month, and hopefully we'll see some progress on this, okay? Be safe,
you
my friend.
Take care, brother.
All right, Frank Matthews, CWA-union.org. Do check out that statement and also that video posted by the News Guild on the attack on journalists. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Coming up next, Dave Wondolowski on behalf of the building trades. And again, you are listening to America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
For over 20 years, organized labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for communications and events needs. Because BMA knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to help unions capture market share, conduct marketing campaigns, partake in political education, promote labor management, organize membership development, and support issues such as prevailing wage, project labor agreements, responsible contracting, and workforce training. They also plan and produce special events such as conventions, conferences, and anniversary celebrations. The BMA Media Group, marketing union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit bmamedia.com. That's www.bmamedia.com for all the labor tools you need to move your union into the future.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange, news, talk, sports, and workforce politics, the fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
The Food and Drug Administration has recently reported that the heartburn medication Zantac is linked to cancer. Zantac has been linked to a variety of cancers, which include bladder, colorectal, kidney, liver, pancreatic, and stomach. So if you or a loved one took Zantac and developed any of these types of cancer, you need to call Kelly and Ferraro. 216-575-0777. Let me repeat that number. 216-575-0777 for a free case review. You may be entitled to compensation from the drug manufacturer.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
Once again, welcome back to America's Workforce, recorded here in Cleveland, Ohio, for workers across America. You can find us online, awfradio.com, and listen to the show, any show we do, wherever you stream podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio. And we ask you, please subscribe to our podcast and give us a rating. All right. Let's go to line number two and welcome one of our regulars, also sponsor Dave Wondolowski, on behalf of the Cleveland Building and Construction Trades Council. Dave serves as executive secretary, cbctc.org. And slowly but surely, we're seeing a ramping up, everybody getting back to work. And, Dave, I just want to let you know that I am broadcasting this show from Ironworkers Local 17. Proud to be rebuilding and building northeastern Ohio here. I'm still not allowed in the radio station. Okay. they're being a little cautious. They said, don't let Flash in here right now. But I really appreciate the Ironworkers here for allowing me to use their offices to do the show. How you doing? How we doing out there in northeastern Ohio? Everybody getting back to work? What's the story?
Yeah, we're doing okay. Flash, thanks for having me on this afternoon. Yeah, we are, you know, we never stopped working. We had a couple of job shutdowns due to COVID, but we're back at it and working hard. And it's gotten to a point now where, you know, manpower is becoming an issue. It has been, and now again it's become an issue because we need people. So as jobs are ramping up and we're calling people back to work, we're realizing that we're lighter than we need to be. So we've got to get some people back into these apprenticeship programs, and we cannot lose focus of the fact that we've got to replenish our ranks. So hopefully, our training centers are starting back up. They're reopening as well, safety guidelines and CDC precautions. But, you know, it's time to get people back to work.
Yeah, yeah. I know you and I talked about the need for more training for the apprenticeship programs. And then all of a sudden, boom, here comes the virus and everything was halted. I know here at Ironworkers Local 17, they ramped up about 2 weeks ago, within the last 2 weeks. Is that pretty much the status with the other trades?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, good.
Everybody's opened up within about the last 2 to 3 weeks, yes.
Good, good, good. What about projects here? I'm hearing a couple stories statewide. We had Dorsey Hager on the show last week. Apparently, some statewide projects funding is being cut because of budgetary concerns. The big one here in Northeast Ohio, Sherwin-Williams. Any update there? That's a huge one.
Just a couple of months back, a couple of months behind on that. But no, that's going to go. And it's important to go. They were in front of the Port Authority not too long ago. You know, that job will be a job that really gets us back to work. It'll be a signal of strength in the city of Cleveland that life is going on, life is moving on from here when we start that project. It's going to be vitally important, and it's going to be it's going to re-identify Cleveland, and we've got to build that. It's vitally important, and it will happen. So, just a matter of time. The markets are doing good. I think investors are a little weary still, but we need to. And it's another reason we need to get these projects moving.
Gotcha. You know, the North America Building Trades Unions, along with the Center for Construction Research and Training, they release a set of standards to follow because of COVID-19. And this is national. Are we up to speed on those right now here in this area, to your knowledge?
Very, very much so. Every project, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Social distancing, everybody's practicing that as well. I mean, everybody...
To the extent they can...
Yeah,
if they're not, they're wearing face masks and shields, and they're doing what they have to do. So everybody is doing everything that they can do to stay safe.
Gotcha. Well, there's a story going on here. In fact, this was in the Labor Citizen in last month's issue about a pension fund financing an apartment project. And this is on the east side, Larchmere, the 121 Larchmere project. And the cool thing about it, you're using union pension money to create union jobs and to take the area further here. I mean, this is a great story. Maybe can you give us a quick synopsis of what's going on here, Dave?
Yeah, so Mitch Schneider, who we've worked with for decades now, had a concept to build a mid-priced apartment complex on Larchmere and needed a little bit of equity for the project. So he went to the Erect Funds out of Pittsburgh, which some of us are invested in through our pension funds, and the Erect Funds came through with the equity, needed equity for the project. And the project is now going. So, you know, again, you know, these projects wouldn't go without the help of the pension funds. And so, you know, it's going to create, 150 or 200 jobs for a year. And it's what we need. It's another shot in the arm that's important to Cleveland, and it's important to our membership. So really happy about all of it. We're going to continue to do that. All that we talk about with developers is, you know, what can we do to help you? I mean, we ultimately, at the end of the day, don't work for contractors. We don't work for unions. We work for owners, and owners pay us. Owners are the lifeblood of the building trade. So whatever we can do to help them get their projects built, that's what we're going to do. And, it's just really great at this point in time, especially to get a project like that out of the ground.
I love it. Yeah, I'm reading. It's a four-story mid-rise building. I guess there's a building there. They're going to tear it down. It'll include 6,400 square feet for apartments, 6,500 square feet of ground floor office space. There's also going to feature single-bedroom units at 700 square feet. Two-bedroom units at 1,000 square feet, and there's going to be some studio layouts. Altogether, 88 residential units, which will be rented for a reasonable price. Yeah, key word, reasonable price. I mean, there's some rents that are really outrageous. I mean, this is just another example of doing the right thing. It's one of those feel-good stories, too. And you know what's crazy about this? Dave, you know what's going on with the multi-employer pension funds in America. And here's an example what unions are doing. They're using the pension funds to create reasonably priced apartments for people. They're doing the right thing. You kind of wish Congress would do the right thing and help the pension funds, right? Wouldn't that be logical?
I do. And meanwhile, you know, throughout this pandemic, we've got the Department of Labor that's tried to attack what we do with our pension funds in terms of economically targeted investments. And we've really had to reach out to our friends in Congress to try to stop the DOL from, putting restrictions on how we invest our money. And so, You know, it's been difficult because even during this pandemic, you know, labor's been attacked and has continued to be attacked, and it's a tough time right now. But at any rate, we're staying the course. We're not giving up the ship, and we're going to continue to fight.
There you go. Well, you keep up the fight, my brother. We'll check in with you next month. CBCTC.org. Twitter handle is at CLEBCTC. Dave Wondolowski, take care. We'll talk to you in July, all right?
Thanks, Flash. Take care.
All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, latest from Jill Stein and the Green Party and the Labor Citizen. Until then, be safe and have a wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.